Welcome to the Field Log Podcast, weekly reflections for the Warrior King to help you master yourself, fulfill your purpose, and conquer the day. I'm your host, Marcian Sicario. Field Log, Day 127. Knowledge unused is knowledge wasted. A few years into my career, I remember dreading going to work. Right, and I think many of us have been there at one point or another. Maybe this is your reality right now. If it is, I'm sorry. But there was a point where I was so tired of what I did every day that I started wondering if technology just wasn't for me, right? Is there a way, I started asking myself, that I can use, let's say, my experience in the industry, you know, my positioning right now, to pivot in some way where I don't have to move into a, call it, you know, lower earning potential field without having to write all this stupid code every day. So I started taking some inventory, started asking myself, what are my strengths? What are my options? And I came across the role of product manager, right? And for those of you who don't live in tech, a product manager is basically the CEO of a team, right? He's the person who is responsible for the product's success, right? The product manager talks to clients, right, talks to stakeholders, or I was going to say shareholders, but stakeholders, people who have a stake in the product, finds out what people are asking for, right? How are people reviewing the product? How are people thinking about talking about the product? Gathers the requirements, organizes them, and then tells the development team, these are our priorities, these are the things we need to work on. Well, I consider myself to be a person who is good at organization and has some leadership skills. So I decided I wanted to take a crack at that, right? I didn't want to write code anymore. I was miserable. So I started to study, right? I asked myself, what do I need to do to become a product manager? And the conclusion I came to was I need certifications, right? Certificates. That was my conclusion. So I started studying for that, and I wanted to build the skill set, be able to get the certs, be able to do well in the interview, and then get a job as a product manager. I did that pretty much every day. And I want to say I did it for close to a year, right? Let's call it 8 months, maybe. And then, while I was studying to be a product manager, I got loaned out by my boss, the man I was working for at the time, to another team at the same company, right? They needed a resource. We had a resource. I was that resource. And he said, here, take Marcian. Well, he didn't say Marcian, but he said, take him, right? And the thing they had me working on was a POC, a proof of concept, for a particular technology that they wanted to integrate into their Angular front end, right? And again, for those of you who aren't in technology, Angular is just one of the many flavors of front-end framework that you can use to build websites, right? If you're ever on your browser and you're visiting a website, that's the front end, and it communicates with the servers on the back end. I'm a front-end developer, it's what I do. Well, when I started working on it, I found that I was pretty good at that, right? It was very easy for me to find the solutions to problems I was having. There's something about it. I just had a knack for it. And all of a sudden, I didn't care so much to pivot into being a product manager anymore. That work seemed pointless. I was like, I'm not miserable anymore. I can continue to grow in this field, in this particular space, right, as a front-end developer. And I did, right? I'm a front-end lead now. I lead a front-end team. I'm the owner, in many ways, of a front-end. If things don't go well, it's my fault. If things go well, it's, you know, I get the credit for it. That knowledge that I amassed over those, like I said, we'll call them 8 months, I haven't used at all, right? Product management, all of the things I was reading about, I was learning, were so specific that, you know, as far as general leadership is concerned or general planning or problem solving, I don't really feel like I learned much of anything. So let's do a little math exercise for a second, right? Let's say I didn't miss very many days. Let's say I missed none, for example. Let's say 8 months and every single day I studied. Wasn't the case, but for the sake of exercise, let's just assume it was. Let's say it was 2 hours every morning, right? It was somewhere between 1 and 2 hours usually, but we'll take the high end just to let this sink in. 270 days, it's probably about 8 months, give or take. 2 hours, that puts us at a little more than 500 months. So in the time that I spend learning a skill that I'm not using, that I probably never will use, I could have basically learned a romance language to fluency. And that leads us into today's topic, which is knowledge unused. Is knowledge wasted? Let's take another example of this. Let's say that I was learning a language, right? I'm learning the language because I want to, I don't know, I'm interested in some girl and she speaks French, let's say. So I started learning French so that I can impress her, whatever, right? It's a silly example, but I'm coming up with it off the top of my head, so we'll roll with it. And I start studying that language an hour a day, right? Let's say I do it again for 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, who knows? And then eventually, while I'm studying this language, constantly trying to learn French and impress her, she meets a guy. And that guy just goes up and talks to her and asks her out on a date, which I haven't been doing because I've been studying this language, trying to ask her out in French so that I can have the whole date in French and she'll be so impressed. Now she's dating this guy and I learned the language for nothing. And again, it becomes unused knowledge. Who knows, maybe I'll fall in love with French and then continue from there, but for the sake of argument, let's say it was just for the girl. I've done this before, by the way, not in this exact way, but I was dating a girl, she spoke Spanish, so I was learning Spanish, and then we broke up and it was pointless. It was a long time ago, I will say. Knowledge unused is knowledge wasted. That's something that I've learned. The phrase isn't something I came up with, but it's something I've learned over time. Many of us, and I think that many of you listening to this will probably relate, many of us think that in order to get started with something, the first thing we need to do is amass a lot of information. And while I'm all for learning, today's Feelog is about counseling you against the instinct to want to gather as much information as you can. It is a creative way to procrastinate. I'm pretty sure there's a name for it. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but something along the lines of active procrastination, maybe. And if you remember, you know, send me a message, let me know. We think that we're being productive, right? And of course, studying feels productive. This is one of the things that we learn in public schools, is that studying is productive. If you're shoving information into your brain, you must be doing something right. Well, the newsflash is that in the real world, that doesn't work. I could spend the next 40 years learning about quantum physics. And of course, I'm not saying that people shouldn't learn things for the enjoyment of it, right? But that makes it a leisure activity. And that's different. It's not about utility. Leisure is for its own sake. Say I spend 40 years learning quantum physics, right? I learned quantum physics until I'm 70 years old. And I never use it once. Barring the information for enjoyment's sake, it's really useless to me. It's wasted. Not only is it wasted because I'm not using it, it's also opportunity cost. I could have been learning something I actually will use. Maybe I can learn about tax write-offs, get more money back. Maybe I can study for a career shift. Maybe I can learn about nutrition and exercise. Right? Ask yourself these questions. We use it to procrastinate. Right? And when we get to the end of the field log and we do today's exercise, I will probably ask you to do some sort of inventory. But we use it to procrastinate, gathering information, especially in the world we live now. Virtually the entire corpus of human information is accessible to you at your fingertips right now. So we're not lacking information. If the absence of information, if the, you know, the lack of information was the thing stopping you from achieving what it is that you're trying to achieve right now, we'd all be, you know, millionaires, billionaires, if it was about volume of information. Because there's nothing stopping you from getting all the information you can, right? There's no more barriers. It's not about information. There's something else. And I want to posit the idea that, you know, one of the ways to frame this, a very valid way to frame this, is that it's about used versus unused knowledge, right? That's the idea here. And I hope that my first example, which was obviously better than the second, but I hope that my first example let that sink in for you. And maybe you're at the point right now listening to this and you're starting to wander off, which if you are, come back, you know, the time to reflect will be later, but maybe you're starting to think yourself, what have I been doing? That's just study, study, study. So if we know that knowledge unused is knowledge wasted, and we're starting to get an approximation of the mechanism of that, how that happens, there's two questions that that begs. One, what's the alternative? And two, how do we make sure that the knowledge that we're gathering doesn't remain unused? How do we make sure to gather useful knowledge? So I want to touch the first one first. what's the way we ought to think about getting started with any project, right? What could I have done differently when I was studying for product management? And to answer this question, I want to give you an analogy. I want to tell you a little bit of a story, I suppose, in some ways. Whenever I encourage people that I think would be a good fit for technology, right? Whenever I see somebody who's unhappy in his career and I think that you can free up your time and earn more money doing something in tech, the way that I generally encourage people to study is gather a couple of courses, right? And I used to recommend too many, I will admit that, but especially nowadays, what I recommend is one, maybe two courses, right? You want to get enough information to kind of understand what it is that we're talking about. You want to learn the lingo a little bit. You want to get your hands dirty with some guidance. And then the second you're done with that, build something. Build something. Start working on your portfolio. Say, I want to build a web app that does ABC. I don't know. You want to build a Maps app or something. Okay, it doesn't matter. Well, you sit down at your computer and you pull up your IDE, your integrated development environment, right? Your IDE or your text editor, whatever you use. And you say, the first thing I need to build is a login screen, say. And you realize, I don't know how to build a login screen. So you Google it. How do I build a login screen in React or Vue or Next.js or whatever, Angular maybe. So you Google it. You follow the steps. You start building it. And not only are you learning something that you actually need, you're also doing it at the same time, which always helps the information sink in, right? One fact about the human brain is that the harder you worked to acquire some information, the more likely it is to stick. Easy example of this. If I Google a definition, I'll probably forget it. But if I have to physically flip through a dictionary, I am more likely to retain that information because I had to work harder for it. So when there's labor involved in the learning process, we learn better. That's why I like to learn hands-on when I can. But let's say you get past the login screen. Now you get to the next screen. Now I need to build the map layout, whatever, right? You Google how to do that, or you figure it out. You Google the little bits and pieces. You know how to connect to an API from your course, so you connect to the Google Maps API. And then you need a graphing library. So you find a graphing library, and you go on, and you keep going, and you keep going, and you finish the mapping app. And guess what? It's trash. It sucks. So you chuck it, and you build something else. But the next thing you build, you don't have to look up how to do the login screen again. Or maybe you look up the same article and you're like, oh, I remember this. And you write a little bit, then you scroll down. You're like, ah, okay, this part I don't remember. And you keep going. An action-first approach is going to help you only gather useful knowledge and not learn anything you won't need. Let that sink in for a second. I have a friend who introduced me to a phrase, a concept that I really like, and I think he read it somewhere or he heard it somewhere, but the idea is an ethos of action. He keeps telling me, I want to build an ethos of action. I want to build a mentality, a mindset of always starting things, just getting my hands dirty, and then learning as I go. And I've personally found, and maybe you have as well, that when I start projects that way, when I'm involved in a project that way, those are the projects that make it the furthest. Like with my current poetry that I'm working on. And if you're interested in that sort of thing, there's a link in the show notes to my Instagram, my threads. You can see all of that stuff if you like. I just started posting poems. I was posting them on Twitter and threads. And very quickly, I started realizing that these like text threads are really boring. Is there something I can do about that? So I started putting them on pictures, like images, right? The poems on an image. Well, I kept going with that. And then eventually I started asking myself, can I make it even more interesting? And then I put it on over a video, right? I started narrating them. And I'm, you know, trying to do that more and more frequently. But the point is that I just started getting my hands dirty. And then I didn't have to learn all kinds of things about, I don't know, I mean, maybe social media is a bad example because I have learned this stuff over time. But maybe I would have not had to ask myself, like, which social media should I be using right now? And how should I promote? Blah, 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 blah. I just found very quickly that on threads, I started getting followers. I'm up to 50-something now, right? I started everything from scratch. Twitter was dead. Not a single follower. So I killed it. I just deleted it. I said, this isn't working. The other thing is. And that was useful knowledge. I could have read that in a blog article, but maybe I wouldn't have needed it. Maybe the blog article was 40 minutes of talking about Pinterest or whatever, and I'm not interested in being on Pinterest. So you want to build an action-first approach. You want to build an ethos of action, right? The Warrior King is a man who acts. And that's how we learn. then there's nothing wrong, like I said earlier, there's nothing wrong with learning for its own sake, for enjoyment. And there's also nothing wrong with studying a little bit before you get your hands dirty, but right now I'm trying to discourage you from that because I'm noticing a pattern in people, maybe in you, definitely in myself, of using learning as a procrastination tool. Right, and the second question I asked was something along the lines of, how do we make sure that the knowledge we gather actually is useful? How do we make sure that it doesn't go to waste? Right, if we've started building an ethos of action, and we start getting our hands dirty, but we're finding ourselves lacking the bigger picture or not knowing which thread to follow, the answer to that is also to get involved, right? And I have an analogy for this as well. I have a story for this as well. When I first started getting interested in theology, a lot of times I just kind of go off the deep end, start reading all kinds of different things here and there. And I'm a fast reader. I'm a fast learner. So I didn't, you know, get too bogged down to the point where I couldn't see the bigger picture. But I did end up reading a lot of books that weren't very useful to me. Right, fast forward a couple of years, I become Orthodox. I'm a catechumen for 18 months. I get received into the church. It's been close to 2 years at this point since I've been received. And I didn't start browsing, or I didn't keep browsing Amazon for books to read or Googling online, what should I be reading? I just showed up. Right? If you want to know what you should be learning in a particular field, right, let's say theology, go to church. Right, we have a field log on that. It was a couple of weeks ago. It's called Go to Church. If you haven't listened to that one already, listen to that one after this. Well, if you're going to be at an Orthodox temple every Sunday and you stay for coffee hour for 1 to 2 hours, you do that for 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to have a list of book recommendations that's about a dozen long. The book that I'm reading right now is called Our Thoughts Determine Our Lives by Elder Thaddeus, and I'll remember to put a show note link for you, or well, rather, I'll remember to put a link in the show notes for you. That was a recommendation. I got recommended that book at least 6 times, and then I said, I should probably read this. The book that I read before that one, St. Justin Martyr's First Apology, and same thing, I'll put that in the show notes for you too. Make a note for that as well. St. Justin, there we go. Also a recommendation, believe it or not, and the book that I read before that one, Man of God, is about St. John the Wonder Worker. Guess what? It was a recommendation from somebody at church. So if you want actionable information, one, develop the ethos of action, and two, gather information from the people that are also involved. Don't just start going on Amazon and sorting by, you know, bestseller in XYZ category, bestseller in theology. That doesn't mean anything. That's the appeal to the masses fallacy. It doesn't mean much. You're going to get the information to act on when you need it, and you're going to get it by talking to the people that are already involved in it, that are further along than you are. We've talked about something very similar to this in another field log. It's called Just in Time versus Just in Case, where I made a very similar point that you don't want to gather information in case you might need it. You don't want to build things in case you might need them. You want to build them when you need them. Unless it's something like, you know, you need it once it happens, it needs to be done already, like let's say a will, God forbid, you pass away. You don't want to wait until you need a will, right? You could step under a bus, that's different. But you don't want to, you know, learn 5-6 languages because you say to yourself, I want to be a biblical scholar. Well, then start studying the scriptures. And then once you start getting to a point where you're like, hey, I don't really understand this, let me look at the Greek. Well, I don't understand any of this Greek, so let me take a deviation for a week to learn how to read Greek. And then to look up the definition of this word and read it out loud, look it up, type it in, and then learn it that way. And then maybe you start to think, okay, I'm getting to a point now where I really start to need to read the Greek original. So let me do a little one book. I'll put one book that's an intro to Greek, biblical Greek or whatever. And then you start learning the information as you need it. If lack of knowledge were the cause of people not achieving their goals, we'd all be millionaires driving Lamborghinis. Because everyone has access to basically the entire corpus of human knowledge at this point. The internet's there for everybody. It's not lack of information. It's lack of actionable information that's really keeping us from doing what we ought to be doing, from achieving the things that we're trying to achieve, from living out our God-given purpose. So I want you to do that as an exercise today, right? If you've had a tendency to gather information and constantly gather information and never act You'll know this, right? You'll have been listening to this field log for the last 20 minutes, close to 20 minutes, and you'll have said, yeah, that's me. And I have news for you, and it's not going to be fun to hear. If you find yourself to be the kind of man who constantly gathers information and never acts on it, you are useless to the people around you. And I know that's very harsh, but I'm primarily speaking to myself. So you have to take inventory. Right, today, whatever it is that you're doing right now, you're drinking your coffee, right? You're doing the usual, you're sitting there in the morning, you're driving to work, whatever it is, if it's safe, I want you to pause this for a second. I want you to make a note to spend 5 minutes today, 4 minutes. We'll make it short. Spend 4 minutes today going through each of the seven commitments and asking yourself, have I just been studying here and not doing anything? Right? Have I just been reading about orthodoxy and not visiting my nearest Orthodox temple? Have I been constantly studying courses on programming, but not building anything? Have I been watching YouTube videos on nutrition and eating the same schlob stuff that I used to eat? Have I been, watching a bunch of videos on how to produce music and I haven't tried to make my first track? You see where I'm going with this. Spend some time today. Do that exploratory work just for a little bit. And then get your hands dirty. Start something. Experiment. I had a phone call yesterday with one of my guys. And I told him, same thing I'm telling you right now. Experiment. Get your hands dirty. That's how you're going to learn. The only way you're going to make progress, the only way you're going to gather information that's actually useful to you, is by remembering that knowledge unused is knowledge wasted. That's it for this week's field log. If you like what you heard today, you can follow this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on right now. You can also rate the show. That always helps out a lot. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at marcian.cx for field log snippets, art, philosophy, and training-related content. You can also visit the website at marcian.cx for much more of the same. I'm still working on consolidating the Warrior King content into the marcian.cx project. So check back at the website soon for the new and improved Warrior King training protocol, which is going to include supersets and my updated supplement recommendations. There's also a 2024 goal setting guide on the way, and of course the Warrior King newsletter. If any of that sounds appealing to you, the links to everything are in the show notes below. It's all free, and as always, conquer the day.